Today we gather to light the first candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope. This small flame reminds us of the light that shines in the darkness, a light that no darkness can overcome. As we prepare for the coming of Christ, we must place our trust in the promises of God, who brings hope to the world. Hear these words of hope from the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing plunder. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 3. The candle of hope calls us to remember the promises of God that have sustained his people through all generations. In the midst of uncertainty, fear, or despair, God's light shines, bringing us the assurance of his faithfulness. The hope we light today points us to the ultimate hope we have in Jesus Christ, who came into the world to bring redemption and peace. Let us hold fast to this hope and share it with a world in need of his light.
You can clap for that. Thank you, Pastor Kirsten. This cough will not leave me. I think it's just here to stay. Thank you, Austin. That's encouraging. He said, neither will the Lord. That's true. Oh, well, we are starting a new series, and it's an Advent series called The Gifts of Christmas. So for the next four Sundays, and then ending on Christmas Eve, this is our Advent season. So we're going to dive into what Advent means and this Sunday of hope, or the gift of hope that we receive through Christmas. So before we do that, I want to take us back in time a little bit. It's Christmas Eve, and you're a child, and the anticipation of Christmas morning is killing you. You're excited, so excited that you can hardly sleep, and you've been wanting this certain gift all year. And tomorrow's the big day. Now you finally coax yourself to sleep, even though you can't stand the excitement, and you wake up the next morning way too early. And you run to the living room, and you look under the tree, and you find these presents, and waiting any longer seems almost impossible. So you run to your parents' room, and you wake them up, even though they just went to bed. And you get the day started. Now, if you're like me, when I was in the fifth grade, the Nintendo 64 had just come out, okay? Now, the Nintendo 64 was notorious for a couple games, Mario Kart and Wave Race. Now, I brought this picture of these two things. Now, these were cutting-edge graphics at the time, okay? I know it doesn't look like much right now, but these were awesome, right? So, lo and behold, we get a Nintendo 64 under the Christmas tree that year, and it was awesome. It was the best Christmas ever. Now, maybe you can get yourself back into that place, into a time when you were excited for Christmas, so excited you could hardly stand it. Maybe it was because of a gift, or maybe it was just because of your grandmother's famous dessert, or maybe it was going with your family and cutting down a tree. But the point is that we have many traditions and fun things that we do this time of year, and most of them are good, and all of them are centered around the birth of Jesus, or at least were at one point, right? But there's a lot to get caught up in. Maybe you feel like Charlie Brown in the Christmas movie, or the timeless TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, Charlie Brown finds himself in the midst of the Christmas decorations that have been up since Halloween, and he's got Christmas songs stuck in his head, and he's surrounded by lights and shopping and cookies and parties, and he stands up and finally shouts in exasperation, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Now, this cartoon had been airing or streaming since 1965. That's a pretty good run, right, by any standard. That's a long time for something to keep going. And what you may not know is that Charles Schulz, who's the creator of Charlie Brown, the character, but also Peanuts, the cartoon, he threw together an outline for this Christmas special in one day. And he had some or unorthodox ideas like a jazz soundtrack for the music and to run a show with no laugh track, which was kind of crazy at that point. That was a big deal in TV shows in that era. Most of all, he was adamant that the Christmas story be presented. Now, with a scene like with scripture read straight out of the Bible. So the TV producers were worried that this might be a little controversial to read the Bible on national television, but Scholes insisted. And so with that in mind, you'd know that when Charlie voices this exasperation with this question, is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? It's his best friend Linus who sets him straight with a clear answer from Luke. Now, Linus recites this passage straight out of the King James Version in one of the most famous scenes in television history. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and this is the King James Version. He says, Linus responds, "And there were in the same county shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So in those words from Luke 2, Charlie Brown finds hope. It's where the whole Christmas experience turns for him. He realizes its true meaning. And so he goes from depressed by the season. Anybody been there? Yeah. He goes from depressed and weighed down by the season to inspired by it. He goes from an inward focus of questioning everything to an outward focus of sharing this season with others. And so today, I would invite you to embrace the same words of hope as we enter in this season of Advent together. Now, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore the true gifts of Christmas. Now, this is our chance to listen to the stories and to remember the true meaning of Christmas, and then to wait in the expectation for the arrival of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now, we have a lot of traditions, all sorts of things centered around Christmas that don't really turn our attention toward Jesus or much else for that matter, but we are not going to spend time tearing down all the societal things that we enjoy in our current period in time that we exist in. So the point of this series is not to get rid of the traditions and the trappings and the celebrations that come around us during Christmas time that kind of come along with this season. But it's to take a purposeful journey through the gifts that came along with the Savior of the world and then experience and appreciate these true gifts of Christmas on a deeper level. Those gifts being hope, love, peace, joy, and then ultimately Jesus. So, what is Advent exactly? Now, for some of you, this concept may be new. You may only know Advent from a calendar with little windows on it that open up, revealing a gift or a treat for each day of the month leading up to Christmas. But Advent is much more than little treats and toys and candies. It's the word Advent means arrival, and the season is marked by this expectation and waiting and anticipation and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past and the present and the future. So Advent offers us this opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the arrival of the Messiah. It's to celebrate his birth and to be alert for his second coming. Now, Advent looks back upon Christ's arrival to earth in celebration. Now, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns to restore all things back to him. And so our hope was fulfilled in Jesus 2,000 years ago, but our hope is also in Jesus returning. Does that make sense? So Advent is bridging these two together. Now, during Advent, we wait for both active and assured. So although Advent traditions and practices may vary among different denominations and churches, one of the common traditions of Advent is lighting the candles on the Advent wreath, which Pastor Kirsten walked us through this morning. It's a circular evergreen wreath which represents God's unending love for us. And then the lighting of the five candles throughout the season, one for each of the four Sundays before Christmas, and then one on Christmas Eve, they represent Jesus' coming to a world lost in darkness. Lighting candles signifies Jesus' literal lighting of the world. Or as Pastor Kirsten read earlier from the words of Isaiah, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So as we celebrate with our Advent wreath this season, we will light a candle each week, and each flame brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world, born in Bethlehem. So, in a season marked by frenzied busyness, Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts and to help us place our focus on a story that's so much bigger and so much better than that of our own. It's the story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's not a season of pretending or covering over, right, which happens. I mean, there's a lot of Christmases we've had to pretend to be happy or try and cover over something that's happening, even though we don't want it to. But it's a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his Son into the world. So it's a season of expectation and preparation, but also opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the hectic season of buying and exchanging presents and cooking and throwing parties. So wherever you are on your own spiritual journey, I invite you into this season. Advent is not necessarily a celebration that God comes to fix things, right, from broken families or broken and hurting lives, even though God does do all that and more. Rather, Advent is the celebration of God coming to be with us in the darkness, in the pain, in the chaos, in that hectic frenzy of life. He shows up and he makes a way. So that's what Advent is really about, is God coming to be with us, not to fix us, but to love us, to live with us. So as we explore these true gifts of Christmas over the next few weeks, my hope is that the experience of the true and living God, we would experience that in a new way. He's bigger than our greatest expectations or our deepest pains. His light shines in the darkness and bids us to draw near. So as we do, as we draw near to him, we discover and realize the gifts that he brings. But more so, we discover him. We learn who God is. So this first Sunday in Advent, our focus is hope. So let's start by looking at what we mean by hope. Some statements you would hear around hope that might involve, or involve hope sound something like this. You say, I hope it doesn't rain or snow now, right? I hope I get the job. I hope the world would be at peace. I hope nobody goes hungry, right? I hope he gets better, or I hope this paycheck will cover it. With all these statements of hope, do you notice a theme? See, worldly hope is categorized by doubt, right? It's doubt-driven. It's characterized by uncertainty and by lack of control. Or in other words, we hope for things that may not happen. But in the context of Advent, right, the arrival of Jesus, hope is a guarantee. It's a sure thing. Our hope is actually a no-so rather than a maybe-so. So to stick with the feel of our Christmas shows today, we're going to do a nod to The Muppets Christmas Carol. Now, I know that the Christmas Carol exists outside of The Muppets. I just like The Muppets one better. Anybody else? Okay, good, good. Some people on my team here. But instead of the ghost of the Christmas past or watching a movie, or the Christmas past, present, and future, we're going to look at the gift of hope, but through those same lenses. So let's jump into our first stop this morning, the hope of the past. What is the longest you've waited for something? Just think about that. What's the longest you've waited for something? And is there anything you've been waiting for your entire life? Maybe you've waited for that first car or for the day that you could actually drive it on your own. That's the worst. Did anybody buy a car well before you could drive and just have to sit there and look at it? Ugh, that's the worst. I did that too. That's the worst thing ever. Maybe you waited, and maybe you're still waiting to get your first buck during deer season. We're running out of time. Are we out of time? Is gun season over yet? Okay. Today. All right. Head out in the woods right after church, if that's you. Yo, waiting on the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl again? You'll be waiting a long time, Austin. Oh, well, whatever experience you have in waiting or in anticipation, the people of ancient Israel probably have you beat. See, the people of Israel knew all about waiting. Their entire history was marked by waiting as they looked forward to the arrival of the Messiah who would set them free. All this prophecy, right? There was all these things being said about this coming Messiah. And we're talking about generations of waiting, right? I think we sang a song about it, like 400 years of waiting for this Messiah. Now, other than, for us, the return of Jesus, which we're going to get to in a little bit, there isn't really anything that we wait for generationally. Now, in the Old Testament, we see all these prophecies about the Messiah. One example is Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Another well-known prophecy from Isaiah is this. It's in 9:6. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So these and other prophecies gave clear expectation of God's promised Messiah hundreds of years before the arrival of Jesus. Now the promise didn't always make the waiting easy. So as we prepare for Jesus' arrival this Christmas, we share in the waiting of the people of Israel. And like them, most of us have situations that aren't easy, right? We have situations and circumstances that make our life difficult. It makes it tough for us to wait on God sometimes. And like them, we still wait for the complete fulfillment of God's salvation for the world. Many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' arrival, but others won't be completed until he returns again. And so, how can purposeful waiting this Advent season prepare us for the arrival of Jesus? Well, as we look back on hope past, we gain confidence and we renew our faith in God's promise to us. Remember, even though the Israelites waited for generations for the Messiah, it finally did happen. Now, God was still faithful and kept his word because that's who he is. And the arrival of Christ is one more example of the faithfulness of God and the fulfillment of his word. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So we can find confidence in the fulfillment of Christ's arrival, right? We can be confident that God's word is faithful because Christ has arrived. And in all he's done in our lives over time, but we can also find assurance that there's much more to come and that God will complete his good work in you and me and in the world. And he will fulfill his promise to make all things new again. So let this season be a journey of building confident hope because God has fulfilled his promise in Jesus Christ. So the second stop is the hope of the present. Now, in the first chapter of Luke, we see Jesus' birth foretold again. But unlike the Old Testament prophecies, this is much more personal and imminent. Like, when you find out you're going to have a baby, it seems far off, right? Now we're talking like it's labor. Like, this is happening. This is personal and imminent. Now, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her about the coming of Jesus. And so This is in Luke 21:26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth in a town called Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now Joseph was a descendant of David, and this virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her, and he says this, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the son of the Most High, The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So, in the midst of life's questions, do you find yourself sometimes wishing that Gabriel would just show up and give you the answer? Would just kind of let you know what to expect? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to just know, why am I going through this? What's going to happen? It'd be really nice if God would just send an angel to tell us what's going on every now and then. It might be nice for us, right? But in Mary's case, it might have been easier not to know. What do you do with information like this, right? This really was a mess that Mary was in. She had to explain the whole thing to Joseph, and all of society then sees this person who's not yet married, who is clearly pregnant, and that was a big deal then. This was not necessarily a good thing for Mary's social status, we'll say. Now, Mary was given a direct message from the angel Gabriel, but even, and maybe especially then, it took faith to place her hope and her trust in God. Now, thankfully, Mary responded in faith to the hope of the promise of Jesus, or God with us. So today, as we begin Advent, and we know and hold fast to that same hope that Mary was holding to, Jesus has come and he's made a way for us to be one with God through his forgiveness of our sins. So his arrival changes everything. As you sit here today, the present hope that you and I hold on to may not seem to be changing much right now. Your heart and your mind may be flooded with the concerns and the stress and the burdens that you face. And any signs of change in your circumstances may be slim to none. That doesn't mean that change isn't happening. It just means that we're in the midst of it right now. You ever look back on a circumstance that you just thought, oh, I'll never get through that, right? But you did, and God was faithful. That's that present hope that we can hold right now. So he's working behind the scenes for you. He's working inside other people as well, not just in you. He's working other situations out. It doesn't mean that he isn't working inside our hearts to teach and to shape us. So regardless of what outward results look like at any given moment, like Mary found herself in quite a mess too. It ended up being the best gift ever. Whatever the results look like, we can experience hope. And in the words of Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So our present hope in Jesus doesn't stop the storms of life, right? Just like an anchor doesn't stop the storm, it doesn't control the weather. But this hope acts like an anchor in holding the ship steady against the wind, against the waves. Our hope holds us firm and secure in the midst of life's storms. So let this season be one of secure hope in the midst of whatever storms you face. That's the present hope of Christmas. And the third and final stop is the hope of the future. The hope of the future. Romans 8, 24 through 25 says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." So while our focus is leading up to Christmas, right, that's what we're all excited about. Are you guys excited for Christmas this year? I am. I'm excited for Christmas. I don't get many presents anymore, but I'm still excited for it. It's a good time. By the way, forgot to say this earlier. Thank you, Care and Share ladies and the Anderson family for all the decorations. Can we thank them real quick? They spent a lot of time here this week getting the trees in the foyer and all the decorations in here. And this is a big place to put decorations out. You guys probably got all your steps in those days. We really appreciate it. But we're focused, all right? We're focused on Christmas and leading up to this Christmas event. It's the birth of Jesus. It's his arrival in our world. And Advent is about that. This is what, you know, we're celebrating is the birth of Jesus, but it's also about the future. Advent is not just preparing our hearts for Christmas, but it's also about preparing our hearts for when Christ returns. And so you may find that waiting patiently for the second coming of Jesus is even harder than waiting for Christmas. In fact, it's a lot harder. Christmas comes every year, right? We get to celebrate Advent every year. Waiting for Jesus' return is difficult. We long for the time when everything will be restored and made new. I don't know about you, but every year that I get older leaves me longing for a new and restored body, one that's a little more limber, right? One that isn't so sore in the mornings, one that doesn't feel like it's going to die when it eats Taco Bell. Anybody else feel that way? In all seriousness, though, we experience this pain and the suffering of today as we wait in eager hope for the future. That's where our hope lies, is that baby that was born in the stable in Bethlehem will return again and complete the work of God in our world. And so we wait, placing our hope in him for the past, for the present, and for the future. It's the bigger picture of our faith, and it's God's plan for our world. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to wait. It's not fun in this world we live in, right? I ordered something last night on Amazon. It'll be here by the time I get home. Isn't that crazy? It's hard to wait. It's hard to be patient in this world. Very, very difficult. But I encourage you to press in and experience this gift of hope today. No matter what the department stores try and tell you, Christmas has not yet arrived. It didn't get here at Halloween either, even though every store says it did. This Advent season is a season of preparation and waiting and expectation. There's value as well as excitement in patient and expectant waiting. Waiting for something makes it way better when it arrives. So in this season, we can rest in this confident hope of the past promises that God has fulfilled. We can also rest in the present hope that anchors us in the storm. And we can rest in the future hope of restoration back to God. So my prayer for you this season is that this would be a time of wonder as you discover the gifts that Jesus offers to you this Christmas of hope, love, joy, and peace, and also his presence. So to close out today, listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts of Christmas. Hope, love, joy, peace. God, we especially thank you this morning for hope. God, I'm so glad we live on this side of time, that we have past hope to look back on, that you fulfilled your promise of a Messiah, of the presence of Jesus, and you gave us the Spirit of Jesus to walk through life with. We are so thankful for that hope. God, we thank you for working in our lives. We're so thankful for that present hope. Help us to live in that present hope. Help us to have the confidence through your past hope. And God, we just ask that this season would be one of waiting, that we would appreciate and patiently await your arrival, not just in celebration of, but in anticipation for your return. God, we long for a day when all things will be made new. We thank you for that hope this morning. So as we move forward into this Advent season, help us to anticipate, to expect, and to long for you to do a work in our lives. Help us to submit, surrender, discover, explore all you have for us and not get caught up in all the craziness. Help us to slow down and wait. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you've felt God speak to you this morning and you just feel like you need to respond, it's a great place to do it. Would you stand with us and sing and use these next few moments to just reflect on what God's been speaking to you this morning?